Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan. Let's get right at it. Josh McDaniels jilts the Indianapolis Colts to remain with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and it sure would seem to indicate, well, wait a minute, it doesn't indicate that Brady and Belichick are staying. I think it indicates that Brady's staying. I know that the reports are out there that Belichick is sticking around, but to me it would seem that it's not going to be for long, and I'm still suspicious because Josh McDaniels had to have a reason to essentially sabotage his own career by embarrassing the Colts and the assistant coaches that were already in place the way that he did. And so to become, or to render yourself toxic for any other team to want to trust you. Although, hey, Doug Marrone came back for him. It took a couple of years.
And that's as many as he needs, though.
And I think that it was a little more, it wasn't done as publicly as what Josh McDaniels has done. And so I think that Marrone didn't carry a stigma for as long as Josh McDaniels will. He'll be wearing a, you know, the scarlet letter on his sweatshirt for the rest of his career. So you'd have to think that there were some plans in place for him to take over for Bill Belichick when Belichick finally does step down. But there are all kinds of reasons. If you want to do conspiracy talk and say that this is the Patriots sticking it to the Colts for Deflategate, you could say all kinds of things. But our Lindsay D'Arcangelo, who's here in studio today, actually has a little bit of inside information regarding Josh McDaniels' thinking process.
I do. I have a source.
Ooh.
What I was told was that McDaniels was having reservations about this last week. He never signed a contract. It was in good faith. Obviously, he told him that he was coming, but he was having reservations, and that he didn't think he would get along with Irsay. And Kraft came back, like you said, with the contract, and I was told gave him a really good offer to stay. Who knows what that involves? I know there's speculation that we think that he's next in line after Belichick leaves, and that could be sooner than later. And then the last thing that I heard was that family came into play, and his wife did not want to move to Indianapolis. So that's what I heard.
I think that seems to make sense, and those are also storylines that aren't being talked about nearly as much. So I'm glad you're able to bring that out, Lindsay, and because a lot of people will look at the more sensational side of it, such as, oh, there must be something wrong with Andrew Luck, the Deflategate conspiracy theory, which is fun, but I doubt that the Patriots would go to that extent just to yank the rug out from underneath the Colts. But Jerry, you're writing a column for the Buffalo News, tomorrow's paper, regarding the McDaniels withdrawal, and you have some thoughts on it.
It's already posted. I buy the family thing. It's so easy to dismiss that because it just sounds corny.
And Mike Rodak's hearing it from his
family. And I think there's a lot
Patriot
to it.
Sources
four,
also, right?
Four kids, and when you see the way these guys move in this profession, like 27 times in 30 years, and what it does to families and wives and mothers who have to bring the kids up all by themselves, that I think it is a factor. I think they're settled into New England. He's been there this time, 6 years? And they were there previously another 3 or 4. I also think that he might have just decided, I can win here. I can still win. We have unfinished business. I don't know if it mattered losing, but I think the Brady-Belichick thing, their rift is overrated, and they have to live with each other, and they look at each other, and they're the reason the other one has been to 8 Super Bowls, and I think they want to go to more. And I think McDaniels wants to be part of it rather than go to a very uncertain team in Indianapolis with an unhappy wife. I really believe that's mainly what's going on here. Did they sweeten it? Did Kraft sweeten it? Did he maybe even throw so much money at him because he wanted to stick it to the Colts? I guess, but maybe I'm just not enough of a conspiracy theorist on this.
I was surprised by McDaniel's interest in the Colts job from the get-go. He's been very selective about which teams that he's been flirting with the last few years ever since he got let go by the Broncos. And a big part of that is the family. He has 4 kids. he's not that old. Like, there,
he's 41.
Right. He knows that he can wait. It's not like he needs to get a head coaching job, because once you do it twice in the NFL, if you fail twice, you're...
That's it.
Right. That's it. You're in trouble. Very few coaches get a third try at it. So I was surprised that he wanted that job, given the noted issues with Jim Irsay, and go Google his name and drugs and find out what you want to know there. Given that Andrew Luck was MIA essentially last year because of the injury there, and you don't know what his future is going to hold, if he's going to be able to play full time, if he comes back and gets hurt again, who knows? And the rest of that roster is bad.
Let's also add the emotion of playing and almost winning another Super Bowl with a team that's pretty much coming back, at least with the offense anyway. Tom Brady throws for 505 yards and 3 touchdowns. The offense doesn't punt. That was not Josh McDaniels' fault or the offense's fault that the Patriots lost that game. So the emotion of coming right off of that, coming so close with these guys, the family bond that you have, and then within 48 hours having to pack a bag and head to Indianapolis for a news conference, I think there's a human emotion element at play there too. Of, you know, there's no come down.
Yeah.
To give you the second thoughts. Although, to make you think, oh, geez, I love it here.
There was speculation leading up to the game, Saturday and Sunday morning, when Mike Florio was saying there,
well,
there
as
was
Lindsay
questions.
Just said, it was all last week.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think it was just the game. I don't think it was just family either, because I think it was just family. Then he wanted to have gotten all the way to the altar. As he did. I think there's a combination of factors at play. And Mike Reese wrote about it this morning, too, how, you know, definitely there's a family aspect, but there very well could be assurances from the Crafts that they think he's their guy. Now, in their contract, can they do that? No, because of the Rooney Rule.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a stipulation in the Rooney Rule about being passed to a successor already on the staff.
But I think that applies to GMs. I'm not sure if that applies
to
coaches.
We'll try to look at it during a commercial. But
yeah.
I think that if there is a successor named in place to come up, much similar to what the Ravens just did with Eric DaCosta, who's going to take over for Ozzie Newsome,
right.
I think that is allowed.
Right.
There's like an internal torch passing clause.
And speaking of rules, could they maybe change the way they do things and not punish guys for being on Super Bowl teams? And he could have made a decision earlier. But you're in a playoff situation. It's all kind of emotion. You're planning. And then 2 days after, as you say, an incredibly emotional loss, then you make your decision. You're not supposed to make decisions in the heat of the moment.
The other human element that Tim was talking about, too, is we often stay in situations that are comfortable. You know, change can be scary, and especially when he's had a history of it not working out. Like, maybe he got cold feet.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that there's blame to go on both sides. It sounds like we're defending Josh McDaniels here, and I think we're just trying to lay out the case on both sides. But just to also, this is unfortunate for Josh McDaniels.
Right.
Is that the Indianapolis Colts released a statement before the contract had been signed.
And that's on
and
them.
If the Colts had not put out that statement, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We
right.
would just view it as, well, these things happen. The guy changed his mind. But the Colts putting out that statement really makes McDaniels look worse than he...
It made them look bad, too.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Colts, said that was his fault. He took all the blame for giving the green light on that press release to go out, that Josh McDaniels was signed, sealed, and delivered, even though the contract was still blank.
It's kind of like the Eric Woods situation. You know, everybody walks up to the altar and they realize that they're not ready to get married.
No invitations were sent out.
Right. There's no Ryan Fitzpatrick at the news conference.
Well, that's a center, though. This is an NFL head coach.
Right.
At least they did it before everybody showed up with their cameras and said, oh, by the way, he's not coming.
Right. And that wasn't by very long either. It was going to be the next morning.
I'm not totally defending McDaniels either. I think what he did was kind of slimy, to be honest.
I mean, it's going to hurt him. There's no doubt.
But there were numerous articles out today about assistants that he offered jobs to that are now stuck in limbo.
Right.
So there's that aspect of it, too. So I'm not totally defending him, but as we're speculating about why he may have done this, I mean, you got to take in the human element. You got to factor that in.
Mm. Those guys might have jobs that they're being paid. They have contracts, though. But, yeah, they probably... feel like they were used too. I put a lot of blame on Kraft and Belichick. I mean, they could have made whatever they offered him in the end, they could have done that 2-3 weeks ago. And why did they wait right till the end to sweeten the offer right at the last minute? I mean, did they not know who they had and how
just
important
one
he was
more
to them
real
or not?
Quick thing about those assistant coaches who are left in the lurch, and we really don't know. Some of them may find other jobs. I don't know that in the span of a month they uprooted their families and took their kids out of school.
Right,
and
right.
We don't know that. The family, they might still have their houses that they had, you know, 3 weeks ago. So, you know, let's not paint a picture of, you know, the moving van's on its way to Indianapolis and the guy's behind the wheel of his rental and he gets a phone call, you know, hey, turn around, you're not coming to the Colts. The Colts have said they're going to honor those contracts.
Right.
And those guys who do stay have jobs. But I will say this, not only is did you get cut loose, or your coach cut loose on you, he's not coming with you, the guy who you thought you were going to work for, but you're also going to have almost a target on your back by whoever does come in to be the head coach, because you know how these guys are. They want their coaches in mm-hmm. place. Even a guy like Gil Bird, who seemed to have a great season as the defensive backs coach of the Buffalo Bills.
He had a great season.
Yeah, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde have, you know, two of the best seasons of any safety in the NFL. Tre'Davious White, second for defensive rookie of the year honors. Even the whoever played on the opposite side was okay. I mean, E.J. Gaines was all right. So a really good showing by the Bills secondary. The Bills let Gil Bird go, who was hired even by Sean McDermott. So Sean McDermott could hire a guy who he's known for longer. So these guys who are coaching the Colts, even though, oh, great, well, the Colts are doing the right thing by them, whoever the coach comes in a year,
they might be gone.
Every day they're auditioning for their jobs every day because there's somebody else that this next head coach is probably going to want instead of these people.
Yep. It might be, you know, 1 year from now where they leave. But to Sully's point, it doesn't explain why they waited until the 11th hour, but I think if you're the Crafts, you're looking at it as...
The 13th hour.
The 13th hour, in fact. I think if you're the Crafts, you're looking at it as, well, we just lost our succession plan at quarterback and dealing away Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, we shouldn't just let our head coaching succession plan, which is what people in New England have thought for the last 10 years, going back to when I covered that team, people thought McDaniels was going to stick around once he came back and be the next head coach with Nick Caserio, who's been there in the front office for 18 years, with him being kind of the GM, because those guys know each other going back to John Carroll. So they I don't think they're going to let that
John
walk
Carroll
out the
University.
Door.
John by Carroll the way. University. John Carroll's not a person.
Well, he was.
You can't assume anything.
He was. I don't think that.
I said he is not. He is not.
But he was.
As in no.
So as we've had this enlightening discussion about John Carroll, an email from. What is this? BetDSI.eu. You know, one of those sports odds-making websites that always sends you emails and odds on stuff. And they have where Bill Belichick will coach in 2019. The Giants are the favorite over the Patriots, plus 125. Patriots, plus 120. Cowboys 400, Jets 750. There is no way.
I would love a bet that says none of these. How about retirement? What, if I want to say retirement?
Retirement, non-NFL coach, plus 750. So according to this, he has an equal chance of being the Jets head coach as retiring, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. There is a zero chance that Bill Belichick ever coaches
the big
Jets.
Hint is that this is probably his last year if he hasn't.
Right.
If he and maybe he's coached his last game. We don't know.
Maybe
Browns
that was the part that sweetened
5,000.
The deal. Maybe they said this is Belichick's last year. You're going to run the show.
Yeah,
well,
you're our guy.
You wonder if the Kraft sat down Belichick on Monday when they got back or on Tuesday yesterday and said to him, "Look, we need to figure out what we're doing here. How much longer are you coaching?" And maybe he told them a number.
One or two.
It's got to be one
and
or
then,
two.
Maybe they sat there and they said, well, let's keep Josh because we're going to want Josh in a year or two. And they may not have pressed Bill on that before then.
That's pretty much, and for those who watched the 30 for 30 on Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, that's similar to the arrangement that Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick had with the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that Parcells was going to be the coach or whatever, the head advisor or whatever they called it, because they had to get around the fact that he had quit on the Patriots. And Belichick was going to be the interim head coach. and take over the Jets upon Bill Parcells' retirement. Now, and people are comparing what Josh McDaniels did to the Colts to what Bill Belichick did to the Jets, and I disagree. I think for it to be equivalent, Josh McDaniels is going to have to be on the verge of getting the Patriots job and then decide he's going to go somewhere else. That would make it similar. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Tom Brady's legacy. You know?
Well, you're trying to get me to stay around, aren't you?
He lost another Super Bowl, Jerry.
Oh, boy.
Maybe he's not as good as we think
he is.
Maybe
he's going to retire,
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Tom Brady and his waning star.
500 yards he threw for.
And he lost the game, Mike. Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270 The Fan.